Wednesday nights, taking a break from that this evening. But 2 Timothy is what's called a pastoral epistle that Paul wrote to young Timothy as Timothy was endeavoring to serve the Lord in pastoral ministry. And it's chocked full of great counsel and great wisdom, especially for young ministers. But it is full of truth that is good for all of us. And certainly a lot that we can learn about Christ and a lot that we can learn about our life in church serving the Lord. And so I've titled tonight, Paul's Practical Teaching, or Practicalities from Paul. And we're going to try to cover the entire second chapter of 2 Timothy. And we may or may not, but that's at least my aim for tonight. So if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to begin 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote this to young Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And let's stop and let's pray together there. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to know you, that we would love you more as we see how much you love us. Lord, we thank you so much for the grace that you have given us, even though we don't deserve it. And Lord, thank you for the salvation that you've offered. I pray if there's one here tonight who hasn't yet trusted Christ, that they would repent and believe the gospel tonight. Just pray you would help us to be in your will as we leave. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This first verse of this chapter, when Paul writes to Timothy, he says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Remember this relationship between Paul and Timothy. Timothy was like a son in the faith to Paul. Timothy was a young man that Paul had invested a lot of time and energy into. And Timothy was, of course, we know through the scriptures that he was taught by his grandmother and his mother when he was little. But then God sent and God brought this man, Paul, alongside Timothy to teach him. And we'll see here in a second, now Timothy was charged to teach others also. But before we go on, aren't you thankful that God brought people into your life that loved you enough to teach you the scriptures? That many people here tonight, I recognize that you were blessed with godly parents who taught you the Bible, but even people other than your parents, I'm thankful for Sister Frieda Loris, who taught me Sunday school when I was little. Some of you guys know Jim and Frieda Loris. She was the best teacher I ever had. She brought M&Ms for us, and it was great. But no, she poured into us. She loved us. She taught us the Bible, and I appreciate that. I've had pastors who have gotten up, and they've preached the word, and I've learned, and I appreciate that. But Paul addresses Timothy here as his son. He's someone that he loves, and he gives him this instruction. He tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, how is it possible for someone to be strong in grace? Paul tells him to be strong in grace. I was thinking about on Sunday, we celebrated Mothers, right? We can do that again tonight, even though it's not Mother's Day. But I was thinking about on June 1st, 1990. It was a great day in history. It's the day that I was born. Not a lot of amens there. So June 1st, 1990, I was brought into this world by my mama. And when she held me, you know, I have baby pictures of myself when I was that little. But I had done absolutely nothing to earn her affection. I made her sick for like 9 months. That's all I had done. I made it so she couldn't eat certain foods. We're going through that right now, right? This little baby that Ashley's carrying, this baby has done nothing to earn our love. But we love her anyways. Amen. And even though I had done nothing to earn my mom's love, as soon as I was born, and I'm just assuming this is how it went down, the doctor hands me to my mom and she's holding me. And she's looking at me, her little baby boy, her precious, sweet, beautiful little baby boy. She loved me. I hadn't earned it. Here's the reality. I'm 32 years old now, almost 33. I am confident in this. There's nothing that I can do that would make my mom not love me. I know that. And I'm fortunate because not every kid grows up in that environment. But I'm thankful to God that I have a mom. I'm telling you right now that it doesn't matter what I do. My mom's going to love me. It doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what I think about me. It doesn't matter. My mom loves me. And there's some confidence you have in that, in that relationship. But just trying to understand this command that Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You understand tonight that we can be confident in this relationship we have with God because of the grace that is in Christ Jesus? That if you are in Christ, if you've been born again, it doesn't matter what anybody else here tonight thinks about you. It doesn't matter if I love you. It doesn't matter if everybody in this room hates you. God loves you. And God has saved you if you are in Christ. And that's something that can't change. And so Paul was telling Timothy to be strong in grace. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's love. Nothing we did to earn God's love. There's nothing we can do to retain God's love. Amen. God didn't save me because I'm good. He doesn't keep me saved because I'm good. It's not because I'm faithful. But I'm continually saved because God is faithful. And so I didn't earn God's love, and I don't keep God's affection and God's love. And Paul tells Timothy to be strong in that, and here's why. As Paul was writing this letter, we know a lot of these early churches were dealing with false doctrine that was creeping in and some wrong ideas. Particularly the book of Galatians, right, was written to the churches in Galatia because the group had come in and they were teaching things contrary to the gospel. And essentially, if you boil it down, the Judaizers were teaching that if you want God's love and God's affection, you need to be circumcised. You need to do, listen, fill in the blank, X, Y, Z. They were teaching that if you want to keep God's love, you've got to do something to earn that. And Paul says, no, Timothy, be strong in the grace. That's unearned love that is in Christ Jesus. And so as Timothy was going to encounter these false teachers, and as Timothy was going to encounter some of these false doctrines, it was important for him to remember. And you just boil everything away tonight. For us, if we could just be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, I mean, that's the sermon right there. It takes care of the grace of Jesus is what contradicts all the false teachings and all the false gospels. Because there is no other grace, and we'll get into that in just a second. There is no other gospel. But he told Timothy to be strong in grace, but he also tells him in verse number 2, being strong in that grace, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, Timothy was to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and then he was to take this grace and take this gospel and share that with other people. Because the gospel, listen, it's not just for you. The gospel isn't just for me. The gospel is for everybody. Amen. And so Paul told Timothy to take the gospel and to deliver to others. And the reason why, there's two realities that Paul understood that I think we understand too. Here they are. Paul and Timothy can't be everywhere at once. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy a long ways away from where Timothy's at. Paul can't be there. And so it was important that Timothy was, he was supposed to be, you get this instruction from Paul, he's supposed to be ordaining elders in every city, but Timothy's supposed to be passing the truth of the gospel along to many other people so that when Timothy leaves, the truth of the gospel is still there. Because it's not about Paul, it's not about Timothy. It's about the gospel, and it's about the message, it's about the truth. And so the reality is Paul and Timothy couldn't be everywhere at once, and also Paul and Timothy weren't going to be around forever. If you didn't know this tonight, you're all going to die someday. And I'm going to die someday. Listen, 100 years from now, none of us are going to be here. Maybe. We could have a 100-year-old, I guess. But 100 years from now, we're all dead. But Calvary Missionary Baptist Church doesn't have to be dead in 100 years. Amen. It doesn't have to die as we die. Now, I'm just going to tell you an observation that I've made, and you can disagree with it if you want to, but I've seen a lot of churches die because people die. And the reason that's happened is because there haven't been people who have taken what they have heard among many witnesses and committed to faithful men who will teach others also. Churches ought not to die with people. The truth of the gospel lives long past us. But Paul tells Timothy to be strong in grace, to equip others. He also tells him to endure hardness. To endure hardness, look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. As Timothy was going to be faithful to the Lord, he was going to endure hardness. He was going to have times where he was persecuted, he was mistreated. Those are promises that Jesus made to his disciples. If the world hates me, know that they're going to hate you too. And that was a promise. Those that live godly will be persecuted, will endure hardness. And so Paul wasn't telling Timothy in case this happens. Paul was giving him some practical instruction here that when the hardness comes, you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sacrifice for the cause. He also makes this analogy of an athlete in verse number 5. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. This is an interesting instruction that Paul gives Timothy, but here's the idea. When you play a game, you don't get to make the rules. Amen. Well, like, you shouldn't. But like when you guys play Monopoly, you have your own, you have house rules, right? Hank likes to change rules to games so that he wins. I don't know where he got that from. Actually, I think it skips a generation. It came from my dad. But when we play sports, I played basketball in high school. If the ref called me for traveling, I don't get to say, nope. I actually am allowed to take 3 steps. It doesn't work that way. When you're playing football and the ref throws a flag and he says you were offside, you can't be like, well, no, I decided that actually isn't the line of scrimmage. We don't get to decide the rules. And Paul tells Timothy, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. As Timothy was serving the Lord and as Timothy was enduring hardness and continuing on to be faithful to the Lord, he still had to serve the Lord within the parameters that God was setting for him. That's important for each of us. We don't get to decide how it is we ought to be living for Christ. We don't get to decide the rules. We look to the book to see how it is we ought to be living. It says the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And so Paul tells Timothy, he gives these instructions to be strong in grace, to know Christ, to be confident in the relationship that you have with God, clinging to the promises that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. Amen. Be strong in that grace, and then take that to other people too so that they can be strong in that grace. And know that as you do that, there's going to be difficulties. Endure hardness. Amen. Be ready for it and face it and continue on. And then he gives them in verse 7 through verse 13, he gives them some reminders for when that difficulty comes, for when the hardness comes. Listen to verse number 7. Paul tells them, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Amen. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. And that verse is packed full of theology. But Paul gives Timothy these reminders. That's what he says in verse number 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Hey, that's good to remember. there's not a day that goes by that we shouldn't remember that Jesus is alive. Amen. That he died and he came back to life and he's still alive. Amen. Remember that. If Paul tells Timothy that, it's because sometimes we might forget it. Not that we don't believe it, but that it's not on the forefront of our mind. But it needs to be. Because as Paul warns Timothy of this hardness, of this difficulty, remember, he tells him to be strong in this grace to equip others and know the difficulty is going to come. What I think Paul does in verse 7 through 13 is Paul reminds Timothy of some critical truths that make all the difficulty worth it. Amen. That make all of the hardness we endure but a light affliction. See, he reminds him of the certainty of the truth of the gospel. That's what he says in verse number 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. It did happen. Amen. Remember that. And Paul gives him, you know, in verse number 9 through verse 10, Paul recounts that, you know, Paul wasn't just telling Timothy to endure hardness while he sat back in a life of luxury. It wasn't, let's keep going back to this analogy. When I was in high school and I'm running sprints and my coach is telling me to run, he wasn't suffering. You know, he was sitting back telling us to run. He wasn't like about to throw up, but we were. Listen, Paul was telling Timothy to endure hardness, but Paul wasn't sitting on the sidelines just telling Timothy, hey, you need to go suffer for Christ's sake while I live this life of ease. Paul had lived a life of suffering. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The question, when we're going through tough times, sometimes, is it worth it? Amen. Sometimes that's a question that you ask yourself. Is this really worth it? Is it worth it? Well, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That even though Paul might be bound, the word of God was not bound. Amen. Listen, they chained Paul up to guards, and he was imprisoned, and all the people around him just kept getting saved. And eventually they did. They stopped Paul. There came a point where they cut his head off. They stopped Paul. But the gospel that he had given Timothy, that Timothy had then given to other people, that those people had given to other people, listen, we are descendants of those people. Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. We are direct descendants of the ministry of Paul. Listen, they bound Paul, but they did not bound the gospel. Faithful suffering is rewarded, he mentions in verse 11 and 12. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But faithful suffering is rewarded. We talked about this on Monday night in men's Bible study, but a lot of times the things that people do in service to the Lord is not seen. Sometimes people endure difficulty and hardness that you don't even know about. I mean, have you ever suffered for the Lord and felt like nobody really even knew or could relate? Or listen, when you suffer for the Lord, God always knows. Amen. And he sees and he rewards. And that was important for Timothy to remember, that as he experienced difficulty and hardness, that it was worth it, that it wasn't going to be in vain. And he says in verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I think this is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible about eternal security. This is about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Listen, there is nothing that you can do. Once the Spirit of God lives in you and you are born again, he is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. He has given you his Spirit. as the earnest, as the down payment. And God remains faithful to us. That was the whole story. That was the whole point of the prophet who was told to marry the prostitute. That's such a strange story when you just read it. But the whole point was God was showing this picture that even as Gomer was unfaithful, her husband kept redeeming and kept staying faithful. And even as Israel kept turning their back on God and forsaking God, God stayed true to Israel. Amen. And he stays true to us. And so Paul tells Timothy, he gives them these really practical instructions. And then in verse 14 through verse 19, just thinking more, just some practical things for young Timothy who's pastoring in these churches and serving the Lord, he tells them to remain focused. Look at verse 14. Paul says, "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." As Timothy was serving the Lord, and as he was growing in grace and equipping others to teach others, and as he was enduring all these difficulties and all this hardness that was going to come in ministry, there was always going to be a temptation to take his eye off the goal and to get distracted with things that should not be the priority. In verse 14, he says, "Of these things, put them in remembrance." Well, what were these things? It's what he just mentioned about the truth of the gospel. "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Listen, our focus has to be on the gospel. People need to be reminded of basic Christian truths. I was guilty of this a lot when I was young, but sometimes the preacher would get up and he'd say, "Open your Bibles to a verse that I already knew," and I'd think, "Oh, I've already heard this one." As if the Bible is like a movie that you can see once and already know what happens. Mike Raines got up to preach one time at Mission Home in Wewoka when I was there after Brother Bob had passed away. And he was coming to preach revival. I know I've told the story before, but he was coming to preach revival, and we were all excited because if you knew Brother Mike Raines, you know that when he comes to preach, it's going to be good. Amen. And he comes, and I'm sitting there, and we're all like on the edge of our seat. They'd been listening to me preach for like a few months, so they were really excited for Mike Raines. And he gets up there, and he says, "Open your Bibles." He says, "We're going to dig into the depths of God's word tonight." He says, "Open your Bibles to John 3:16. And to my shame, I remember sitting there thinking, "Are you kidding me? I already know John 3:16. We're going to talk about how God loves the world and how he sent his son. It's great, but I already, come on. Like, take me to, like, Haggai. Take me somewhere where I can learn something." What a prideful condition I was in to sit there and think that. But Mike Rand said this about John 3:16, and I think that he could sense it in the crowd because he said, "Listen, the word of God is simple, but it's not shallow." Amen. He said, John 3:16 is the simplest verse in the Bible, but it's not shallow. Amen. He said, "We can stay here for weeks and not exhaust it." And that's the truth. But we need to be reminded of basic Christian truths. Listen, when someone preaches the gospel, I've heard of churches who have been upset because, well, the preacher, it seems like he only preaches the gospel. Well, what in the world is, what else is he going to preach? Amen. This, sometimes we get the idea that, well, the gospel is for lost people. They need to be saved, so they need to hear the gospel. But we need something else. before Paul went to Rome, remember what he said? He said, I'm ready. And he's speaking to, in this letter, he's speaking to the Christians that were at Rome. He said, I can't wait to come preach the gospel to you also. Paul wanted to go preach the gospel to the saved people in Rome. Amen. The gospel's not just for lost people. The gospel's for us. And we need to be reminded of these basic fundamental truths. Maybe less time striving over things of no consequence is what Paul tells Timothy. Listen, Satan loves when pastors, when church members get distracted over things that are insignificant. We've all heard the stories of Rome burning and the old adage that Nero played the fiddle while Rome burned. Right, the idea is this, that the whole city around him is in flames, burning down, and he's sitting up there just playing the fiddle, doing something totally different. But how many communities have been full of people who are dying and going to hell while churches are bickering about stuff that's insignificant? Amen. And we're all guilty of it. We can all be in that place. But we need to be reminded of the basic, fundamental Christian truths. And Timothy needed to be diligent in the word so that he would mature in the knowledge and understand what those things were. Isn't that what he says in verse 14 and 15? Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Listen, there's a cost to losing focus. When we prioritize secondary things over primary things, that comes at a cost. Amen. And that's what he mentions there in verse 16 through 18 that we just read about this specific. He names them, the people that were guilty of this. He uses the word canker. See, false doctrine is introduced and spreads like gangrene or cancer. And that's what happened is these people, they had come in, and while, this is the idea that while people are maybe arguing about things that are insignificant, shun profane and vain babblings, while they're doing that, there's these two individuals who are introducing this false doctrine, and they're pulling other people down with them. See, there's a great cost to distraction. When we're caught up in strife, prideful arguments, vain babblings, we are vulnerable, and we're leaving other people amongst us vulnerable to attacks from Satan. You guys remember when you were in school? Did you guys ever play dodgeball? Do they still play dodgeball in schools, or is that, are they allowed to? Good. Remember when you were playing dodgeball? Like, what you would do is you'd get two, and you'd throw one up in the air. You guys know, right? That way the person, when they look up, you can drill them with the other one as hard as you can. That's the whole point. You get someone to look up to get distracted, and while they're doing that, that's when they're vulnerable. And that's what Satan does in churches. He gets us to take our eyes off of the things that matter and to look elsewhere. And while that happens, he attacks. We've got to keep our focus. Paul tells Timothy to keep your focus on the gospel, on the truth of God's word. Amen. And I love this in verse 19 when he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. It's like he just adds this in here. Nevertheless, despite how often Satan attacks, no matter how distracted you might get, no matter what all the things that might go down, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. no matter what happens, the truth of God's word doesn't change. Our belief about the Bible doesn't change the Bible. Our opinions of the Bible doesn't change the Bible. The truth is the truth, and the truth doesn't change. Nevertheless, it stands true. He knows who belongs to him, and those who belong to him ought to depart from iniquity. And then he goes into this last part of the chapter, after telling him to depart from iniquity. Look at verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. This last part of this chapter here, Paul tells Timothy some standards for the servant of the Lord. We ought to be vessels suitable for use. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And he tells them to flee youthful lusts. To flee youthful lusts. Of course, he's referring to sexual immorality primarily, but also other youthful lusts that might grab a hold of Timothy's heart, whether it's prestige, whether it's making a name for himself, glory, power, whatever it might be. But it wasn't just enough to flee. This is the law of replacement, and you'll see this time and time again. It's not just about not doing bad things. It's about doing what's right. See, a lot of people have this wrong idea that Christianity is just a list of things that you're not allowed to do anymore. Well, if I become a Christian, if I become a believer, if I follow Jesus, here's all the things that I can't do anymore. And some of that's true. There's some things that you ought not to do if you're a child of God. But God has not just given us a list of things not to do. Otherwise, we could just sit in our homes and not do anything at all and be faithful. But that's not it. He says to flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We ought to pursue these things. That speaks of effort. You guys ever pursued someone? It's not like a word you use when it's easy. Like when the kids are so small that they can't really like crawl yet, you can just scoop them up. And then they get a little bigger, and sometimes you have to pursue them. You have to chase them down, which I can still do now, but there's probably coming a time where I won't be able to. But if we're going to pursue these things, it takes purpose. It takes effort to pursue righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. And it's only going to happen through the Holy Spirit. Those outside of Christ have no righteousness. And we don't either, except for Christ. Not enough just to not do wrong. We have to do what's right. And not just do what's right. Paul tells Timothy, have a good attitude about it. Have a good attitude. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. We've all heard this said, but sometimes how you say something is just as important as what you say. Like you can be right with what you say and still be wrong based on how you say it. I just think about some people that I've seen. Being from Kansas, you know, we used to see Westboro Baptist Church. They were all over the place. Really gave Baptists a bad name in Kansas. And there's a lot of what they said that was just not true. Every once in a while, they'd say something true. It's almost like by accident. But the way they said it was not good. Listen, you don't go to funerals of people you don't know with signs and picket and scream at their widows. That's not a good evangelism tactic. We got to do things in love and in meekness. So we got to remember that last verse in 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Listen, we are surrounded by people, and Timothy certainly was surrounded by people who were not in Christ. And he uses this analogy. They were taken captive. They were prisoners. And it was important that their attitudes, it was important that Timothy's attitude be right, and that he then instructs other people. And not just believing the truth, and not just sharing the truth, but sharing the truth in a way that's loving and can be responded to. Listen, these are things that Paul told Timothy. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Listen, isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? And if we have all this truth and we know everything, but we're jerks in our community, what good does that do? If we don't have love for God, if we don't have love for each other, and if we don't have love for the lost, what good does it even do us that we know the truth? It doesn't do them any good. Listen, I believe this, that it should be good for Muldrow that we know the truth. It should be good for them. Because we love them enough to take the gospel to them and share with them. But in this chapter, Paul lays out this instruction to Timothy. He tells him to be strong in grace, to take that to other people, to not get distracted, to stay on mission, and do it out of a heart of love. And those were instructions that he gave to a young pastor, but I believe those are principles that are good for all of us. That Timothy ought to have been an example in this, but this wasn't just a responsibility of Timothy's. You can't just say, well, the pastor needs to have a good attitude. He does, but we all do. Listen, whenever you cover a lot of verses like this, I recognize they're, it's like Brother Mike said, the Word of God is so deep. And I would encourage each of you to look into this chapter and even this book. It's not very long, because just moving along quickly like we did, but there's a lot that we overlooked. But here's what I believe, is that when we open the Word of God, God knows where we are individually. And it always astounds me, because one guy can get up and share from the Word of God, and someone who is unsaved can hear that and be convicted of their need to be saved, while someone else in the room who has been saved for 70 years can be convicted about something completely different. But I believe this, that the Holy Spirit, as we look into His Word, He teaches us and He shows us some things in our heart and our lives that need to change. And so what we do now is we respond. Every time we open the Word of God, we respond in obedience or disobedience. We either obey what the Lord has told us to do, or we disobey. Now I want you guys to stand with me. We're going to have a word of prayer. Musicians, you can come forward. We'll have a verse of invitation. But just thinking about that last verse that we read, I think it's good to remind ourselves, as Paul said earlier, that Christ is alive. He came back to life, and anybody who trusts Him gets to live forever. And there are people in our community who have been taken captive, who are prisoners to their sin, and we have got to be faithful to take the gospel to them. We've got to do it. And we've got to do it yesterday, because time goes quick, and opportunities don't last forever. Now, we're going to have a word of prayer, and I encourage each of you to think about those that you have influence with and those that you can share this gospel with, that just like Paul told Timothy, you can take and you can share with others. Let's have a word of prayer.